Often when I greet our congregation, I say, Sawan, or Ni Hao, or Aloha, or Annyeong Haseyo, or Salamat Pahi, or Mabuhay, Buenos Dias, and now I've added another one, Hafa Ade. We're all one in Christ, no matter from what island we come. So good morning to you. As I said, I'm delighted to be with you this morning. You know, as a representative of classes, I've had the privilege, or Adrian and I have had the privilege of having your pastor, Pastor Neil, over to our house a number of times, and he's done a few teachings in our classes, and he told us about the wonderful congregation he was part of. And finally, I have come to meet you, and I'm very impressed, and also really appreciated Pastor Neil and his devotion to Jesus and that spiritual life. I'd like to begin by extending greetings to you from first of all, Tom Dorn. Some of you know Tom Dorn. You've talked to him over the phone or Skyped. He was your counselor during this time as you were looking for another pastor. So, greetings. Tom insisted that someone come here in person to participate in the installation service. So, greetings from him. Also, the classes leadership team and all the pastors and leaders in classes GLA, we congratulate you and we extend a blessing over you as you begin this new phase, this next 27-year phase, 10-year phase. I almost, you know, Jeff said that I'm up here to exhort and teach. I feel overwhelmed by Faith Church and how you've put your faith in action. I'm just overwhelmed by your hospitality and your generosity. And I almost felt like I was the pastor coming to serve here at the this was late Wednesday night at the airport, and I'm so wow. I'm just coming here to install, but there was a wonderful reception committee, and just meeting with some of you, wonderful, delightful. Thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for welcoming us and helping us feel at home. So I'm very impressed already, so I hardly feel that I need to preach here. You're putting your faith in action. But the other impression, or the reason why I'm quite impressed right already, is just meeting with Pastor Tom and Rose over these last number of days. Wow, what a gifted pastor and a passionate leader. I'm overwhelmed by him and impressed. he was a state representative. Wow. An airplane pilot, a bus driver, a pastor, a social worker. Wow, what a gifted person. And I what a delight to see the faith congregation welcome this amazing person of faith. It's just a God thing that you've come together to begin this next stage of ministry here in Guam. So I would be happy just to sit down and just let, because the Spirit has already spoken. But I will share a couple of things just from the Word as a reminder. First, it's a sermon in two parts. First to Pastor Tom, but it's also for us. And then a word to the congregation. The passage that I'm going to use is from Colossians chapter 1. The whole chapter is so great. It's an installation, a commissioning text. But I'm going to start with the last part. Those are addressed to pastors. It's a word of encouragement, just a reminder for Tom and Rose. As I've gotten to know them, they already know this stuff. So it's just a reminder. It's Colossians chapter 1, verse 23 through 29. Now, in that passage, Paul is talking about himself. And at the beginning of the chapter, I'll read the first seven verses a little later because that's addressed to the congregation. So I'm going to start with reading some words. I hope you're gracious enough for me to just to change, because Paul is talking about himself, but I want Pastor Tom to hear that these are also words for him. So I'm just, if you follow along, it's almost exactly what's in your Bible, but I'm going to really target it to the pastor here. And so starting at verse 23, on this your installation day, I urge you to continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel, and then I'd like to pull some words from verses 15 through 20. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, the one who made peace with God through his blood shed on the cross, and then continuing, the one you proclaim as Lord of every creature under heaven and of which you are an anointed servant. So first, continue in your faith. Verse 24, now rejoice in your calling and in your life's burden, for you are filling up in your flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is the church. You have become its servant by the commission God gives you to present to others the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. God has chosen you to make known among, it says the Gentiles, but I say the people of the islands, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you and Christ in this congregation, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, you will strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in you. Pastor Tom, this and all the whole congregation, this is an amazing purpose statement for you as you begin your ministry here in Faith Presbyterian Church. There's a lot of stuff here. I just want to say three things, three words out of this passage. One is faithfulness, rejoicing in affliction, and fruitfulness. That first verse, 23, continue in your faith. 24, now rejoice. And then, well, presenting everyone fully mature is fruitfulness. First, faithfulness. In your ministry, and you probably have experienced this, I have experienced it, there's that continual temptation for you to do ministry in your own strength. Every year you will have these temptations to look for and to search for programs that will really make your church grow. There will be the temptation to make people feel good and happy. There's the temptation to meet everyone's needs. There's the temptation to do things in such a way that people will love you and appreciate you. There's a temptation for pastors to be successful, for the church to be successful, to grow. It's It's the temptation of pastors to work in such a way that your reputation will be enhanced, that people will respect you and call you Reverend so-and-so. You will be tempted to live a certain lifestyle and to live at a certain status level. But being a pastor is not about all those things. Pastor Tom, you are called to continue in your faith, to be faithful follower of Jesus, of putting your trust and your faith in Him alone, of focusing on the gospel. The message you share with people will not be an effective self-help program that you can implement and you can tell all the people to work at hard. Your message is simply that reconciliation and happiness and comfort and everything else we as human beings desire comes through the blood of Jesus on the cross. You are called to be faithful in preaching that and teaching the gospel, preaching Christ, preaching the mystery of God, preaching the Word of God in all its fullness. You are called to invite people to put their hope and their faith and their life in Jesus, to live a relationship with Jesus. Do not be moved, says Paul. Do not be moved. Do not be sidetracked from putting your hope and your faith and your trust in Jesus and in the gospel of the cross. So that's the first word. Continue in your faith. And I see you have a strong and vibrant faith. Continue in your faith. Do not be moved. Secondly, it's kind of a warning, although rejoicing is not a warning, but rejoice. But in that, there's a bit of a warning. You know this, Pastor Tom. You know that what the nature of the calling of the pastor is. When you're called to be a pastor, you're called to be a servant, a suffering servant. You are a servant of God. You're a servant of the message. You're a servant of the Word. You're a servant of the people. You're a servant of the congregation that needs to hear the gospel. You're a servant of the church. You're the servant of the body of Christ. Now, look at verse 24. It says, it's what a servant means. A servant will be like the master. When you are ordained to ministry in the church, you are joining yourself to the ministry of Jesus. And like Him, it may not be an easy ministry. It may be a ministry of sacrificing. Sacrificing for the sake of the body. And you as a pastor, you according to verse 24, will be filling up in your flesh and your life what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions. Now this doesn't mean, Tom, that you need to be crucified for the congregation. Jesus has already done that. But what Paul means here is that you, like Jesus, may experience opposition. You may experience pain. You may experience resistance. This is part of the calling. The church is the body of Christ. You may lose some sleep over the things you experience as a pastor here. You may lose some money. You may lose some of your reputation when you're faithful to the gospel and preach Christ alone. May suffer because of the gospel. And when trials come, when you are brought low, and sometimes failures are part of the pastor's experience, when opposition comes, when people denounce you or spread rumors about you, Paul says, rejoice! Rejoice! You are participating in the suffering of Jesus for His church. Now that doesn't mean you go out of the way to make enemies or make people make you suffer. You don't bug people so that you'll, but you as a pastor ought to be doing what's right. You're called to follow the will of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. So be faithful in following Jesus and rejoice even when sufferings come and afflictions. They are the signs of God's way in the world. That's the power of the cross. And finally, when you are faithful to the gospel of Jesus and you rejoice in the calling, even when it hurts, you will be fruitful. That's a promise. Paul says it, the Holy Spirit says, you will be fruitful. Pastor Tom, you are called to hold out the gospel, to show with your life and your example, to show the Spirit of Jesus and the love of God. You are called to admonish and guide people, to teach people the Word of God. With your life, you are called to make known the mysterious mystery of God and His love. You're called to show Christ in you, Christ in the congregation. When you are faithful to this task and make the sacrifices necessary, you will see right before your very own eyes. Sometimes people who do not know anything about God will suddenly come to faith through your ministry. It's amazing. It's the most wonderful thing in ministry, seeing people, adults, being baptized, accepting the Lord. They will enjoy the love and the grace of God because you and because Faith Congregation pointed them to Jesus, pointed them to the cross. And so you can count on it that the Holy Spirit will make you fruitful and will help you present many people fully mature to Christ. And what a wonderful blessing that will be when the fruit of your labor, the fruit of your sacrifice will birth new Christians, and may I add, maybe even new congregations here in Guam. Jesus has chosen you to join Him in building His church and bearing much fruit for the kingdom. And what a joyful call that can be. May God bless you and Rose as you minister with and in Faith Church for the many more years to come. That's a word of reminder for you. May God bless you. Also a word to the congregation. Colossians chapter 1. Starting at verse 3. Paul, when he looked at that congregation of Colossae, he says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace and its truth." Especially this next verse. "You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit." You may have a faithful pastor. You also need a faithful, a congregation of faith to bring full glory to God. And in this passage, amazing fruit was coming. It was coming through this church in Colossae too. But it started with those seeds planted by that faithful minister, Epaphras. To build Faith Church into everything God imagines it to be, you do need a faithful minister like Epaphras. You know, I came here for the installation service of the pastor, but I also am a pastor to pastors and pastor, and sometimes I speak to other congregations, and sometimes I give this, a part of this, what I'm going to share with congregations, because a faithful pastor does just not come of itself. It takes a faithful congregation to support a faithful pastor. And so I'd like to share a few things. And I'm already impressed with your congregation. And I again, same thing I said to Pastor Tom, I'm not here to exhort you or tell you what to do, just a reminder. I see there's wonderful ways that you're already intending to support Pastor Tom and Rose. And that's wonderful. That blesses my heart when he's already talking about coming to classes, GLA, and spending 2 or 3 weeks with his family. This congregation is good. But to help you grow, Pastor Tom, to be a faithful minister like Epaphras, I need to tell you about a massive study that was done a few years ago in the United States. They did a poll of 10,000 pastors. And I don't know if you're familiar with this, but many pastors are quitting, resigning, and closing churches every day, pastors. And they try to discover, why are pastors discouraged? Why did they quit? Why are they not faithful to the call? After interviewing and doing research on 10,000 pastors, they discovered that there's four things that that keep pastors from being the faithful pastors they were called to be. Four things that keep them from failing in fulfilling the desires God had. Four things that keeps them from being fruitful and faithful as Paul hoped for. I'd like you to remember them. Today, you know, it's a wonderful, glorious day, but there's four things that really grind on pastors. One is loneliness. That was number one. Why do pastors stop being faithful? Loneliness. Secondly, the job demands. Thirdly, conflict in the congregation. And fourthly, they become deflated and discouraged in their spirits. Those were the four top reasons why pastors quit, and sometimes just the whole church just collapses. Let me say just a word about it. This is just a reminder. Loneliness. Many pastors, and I know Tom and Rose too, live far away from family and friends. And pastors can feel separated. Right now, they've fallen in love with this, and there's lots of friends. But over the years, pastors get these feelings of loneliness and separation. We had a little conversation at one of the lunches where we were talking about in Los Angeles, people are so busy, you don't have time for having friends. You need to schedule a coffee with a friend 3 weeks ahead of time. I know it's a little different here in Guam, so take this advice with a grain of salt. But our lives are busy, and sometimes people don't have time to visit. We all need friends. We all need communities. Now, pastors are sometimes their own worst enemies. Sometimes pastors think, because of their position, they cannot share their hearts with the people in their congregation. And there has to be a caution there. Sometimes they can't share things, and it's good for pastors to have outside ways of processing and sharing things. But pastors need deep relationships, and sometimes they can't find them. So the pastors who felt least lonely were the pastors who were often in groups with other pastors, and they would meet regularly for prayer, and sometimes they would have a spiritual director or a mentor or a coach whom they could meet with regularly. You can help your pastor, maybe not this year, but the years following, by encouraging him to meet with other pastors and to have a small fellowship group or a mentor. You can help your pastor feel less lonely by helping him travel back to family and friends. It's going to be fine the first few years, but after a while you're going to say, does Pastor Tom have to go back every year? It's quite an expense, isn't it? It's very important that pastors who are separated with long distances, they are connected with family and friends. So I encourage you to remember that. And finally, help your pastor by making sure he and his wife have friends and that they feel they belong and are included. Secondly, you know, pastors get to do a lot of stuff, and sometimes they feel overwhelmed by the demands of being a pastor. As I mentioned, sometimes I take out the trash, I do the plumbing, I've patched roofs. There's so many things, but there's the demands of being a pastor. There are mainly things to do, and sometimes there's few workers. I praise God for Jeff and many of the other helpers here, but maybe that's not the case here. But pastors sometimes are unable to set priorities and schedule their time wisely for the work they should be doing. And pastors, these 10,000 pastors, often said, we sometimes do ministry by the seat of our pants. That's not very organized. Well, pastors sometimes need assistance in setting goals and strategies for doing the things that are most important for pastors to do. So you can help your pastor counsel. You can help your pastor by setting goals together and planning ministry together and encouraging your pastor to work only on those things that are important for pastors to do. And thank him. Thank him and tell him and show him your appreciation for his work. Thirdly, conflict. As I'm thinking about Faith Presbyterian, I thought, oh, wonder, such a wonderful group of people. There's probably not much conflict here ever. But my experience in church is there's always some conflict. Conflict is part of, it was in the Bible. You know, whenever Paul, there's always conflict. When there's growth, there's conflict. Conflict is always a part of the life of the church, and conflict is very draining. It robs pastors of their enthusiasm and their passion. And sometimes the conflict is not over big issues. Often it's the little issues that really frustrate and wear down a pastor. It's the little squabbles of policy. John Calvin says, calls these indifferent, matters of indifference, majoring in the minors. It's the small betrayers, the betrayals. People who were once friends in ministry, this has been about my experience, friends that were in ministry that would leave over minor things, over some gossip that was said or thoughtless remark that was made. The worst thing is for pastors to hear complaints where the pastor can do nothing about it. Those are very frustrating things to deal with. You can help your pastor by listening to him and allowing him to lead. Trust him. Pray for him. You can help him. You can help him by never saying a negative thing about your pastor, but always speaking so that his reputation will improve. You, Faith Presbyterian Church, you are the only PR people your pastor has. Great pastors come out of great congregations. The greatest resource a church has is her pastors. Don't wear your pastor out, but encourage him in every way. And finally, let me say a word about pastors' deflated or discouraged spirits. You know what encourages and excites and revitalizes the pastor most? know what it is? What really gets pastors going and excited and passionate? It's studying the Word. It's praying. It's having Sabbath time. It's his or her growing and deepening relationship with God. Do you know that this study that I'm basing this on, these 10,000 interviews, 62% of all pastors did not read and study the Bible for themselves. They just study and read the Bible so that they can make a sermon or do the next Bible study. They pray only when they are doing ministry. They do not have regular personal time with God. 80% of all these pastors interviewed did not have a spiritual director or a spiritual partner, and many of them, and I must confess my grave fault here too, we take very little Sabbath time. Is it any wonder that so many pastors do their work with a deflated and discouraged spirit? You can help your pastor by insisting he schedule personal time with God. Maybe he should go on retreat sometime. Have the week off. Go on a retreat. You can help your pastor by insisting and maybe supporting him in continuing education courses or doing a Bible study just for himself. You can help your pastor by insisting that he meet with other pastors for study and prayer. Loneliness, many demands, conflict, and discouragement. These are the things I wrestle with as a pastor, and so will your pastor wrestle with them. We as pastors need you. We need your love. We need your care. We need your support. Without your encouragement, we wilt on the vine. Is it any wonder that at the end of Colossians, Paul encourages the congregation to pray for their pastor? Pray for me, says Paul. Pray for me. Pray that the doors might open for the message. Pray that my sermons may be clear and effective. Pray that I may do my work well. Pray that I may be full of grace. Pray. My friends in Faith Church, I urge you to pray for your pastor. There's a story in Stephen Covey's best-selling book, maybe some of you have read it, The Seven Habits of a Highly Effective People. There's a fable at the end of that book called The Goose That Laid the Golden Egg. In this story, a poor farmer discovers in the nest of his goose a glittering golden egg. Thinking it's some kind of trick at first, he doesn't believe it's real. Yet it is. And the next day, the goose lays another golden egg. After several days, the farmer is no longer poor. His goose makes him a wealthy man. As his wealth increases, so does his impatience. He no longer is content to wait for the golden egg each day. He decides to kill the goose and get her eggs all at once. Of course, when he opens the goose, he finds the goose empty. In his impatience, he destroyed the goose that produced the golden eggs. The point is, if we want to have a good, healthy, growing congregation, we can't go running down or killing the goose who births the golden eggs. And for you, Faith Church, that means if you want to see the gold of God's ministry in your congregation, you need to pay attention and to care for Pastor Tom and Rose and his family. Pray for him and care for him. Grow him to be the faithful Epaphras of Guam. Shall we pray? God in heaven, we thank you for your word, for Paul, for his teaching, his reminder. what a glorious day this is. We've made a wonderful start, and we are full of hope. And we pray that we as Faith Church and faithful pastor can work together and persevere, run and not be weary, and we can soar on wings with eagles, not go faint, but we can finish the race. We can do the work that you call us to do in this church. And we pray for the Holy Spirit to remind us how we can encourage one another and bless one another. In Jesus' name we pray.